Discussion keeps the world turning.
This is Roundtable.
You're listening to Roundtable. I'm Niu Honglin, joined by Brendan and Xinyu. Have you ever stopped to smell the roses? How often do you buy flowers or invite any kinds of plants to your home and life? Today, Roundtable shares with you a tale of growth and flourishing beauty where each flower tells the story of China's dedication to cultivating not just plants, but also a robust industry. And in a world where career ambitions often stretch across cities or even countries, how do couples keep the flame alive when they are apart more often than together? Commuter marriages offer a unique lens through which to examine love, commitment, and the evolving dynamics of modern relationships. But now, we live in a world where progress is often measured in concrete and steel. Yet, there's another kind of growth marking China's stride towards the future, the growth of its flower industry. Today, Roundtable invites you to look beyond the petals and stems into the flower industry that is blooming into a fine example of innovation in traditional sectors. So, let's get into the nitty-gritty of China's green thumbs and blooming business. Before doing that, I want to ask this question to both of you. How often do you buy flowers and through what means?
Oh, every day.
I
buy new flowers and I try and buy a different type of flower each day and I just fill my... No, I do not.
I don't
Sarcastic.
Buy it.
The only time I've ever been involved in... I mean, I guess this is standard kind of universally with men, I guess, to a certain extent, where the only time I've ever bought flowers is to kind of mark an occasion. Mom's birthday, Mother's Day, sister's birthday.
Yeah.
I suppose if you're in a relationship or something like that, you probably find yourself buying flowers for your significant other more often. But yeah, that's kind of only been my experience with buying flowers, is to mark an occasion for a loved one that's female.
So how do you usually do that?
Online. I mean, every now and again, like if I'm going to the store that day on Mother's Day or sister's birthday or whatever, then I'll get flowers from like the store or the local florist or whatever. But in South Africa, there are a lot of online stores. And obviously they offer a lot of, well, they become very, they do a lot of marketing around those times when like flowers are popular. So Mother's Day, spring celebrations, that kind of thing. So it's normally either getting it from like a local florist. I won't go out of my way to visit a florist that's like an hour away, normally something mm-hmm. that's local, or online.
Mm. Yeah, for me, I would very occasionally buy flowers, also through online channels. So I think whenever I need something to light up my mood or light up the room, whether it's unhappy or happy, I would sometimes open this online flower delivery app, and then order some of the bunch of flowers, fresh seasonal flowers, you know, packaged in a box. And sometimes I would order these delivery services that on a weekly basis. So they would send different bouquet. Every single Saturday, yeah. It will arrive at the door of my house, and so it would make you so, yeah, it will light up your mood. And
can you buy flowers like on your standard food apps, like that we use on a daily basis?
Okay. Nowadays we do.
Yeah,
do have that. And I think years ago, I would also buy some fresh flowers from the vendors who were selling these bunch of flowers at near the subway station.
Yeah, that happens too, like particularly in South Africa during, like I said, you know, on Mother's Day or Valentine's Day or whatever, you'll get a lot of these vendors that then trade their general products for flowers.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, I don't buy flowers that much myself, but many of my friends who may love life more than I do would definitely order flowers from different means. Mm. And when they do that quite so often, they realize that it is actually getting easier and more convenient and cheaper to buy flowers here in China. Because previously, like Brendan has just said, and also Xinyu has mentioned, you would buy flowers from vendors or from a flower little shop. Those flowers can be very beautiful. They come up in the shape or form of a bouquet, and they are with different kinds, and it's all decorative, and you can just get the entire bouquet right into the vase. You do not have to do anything else. But later on, the loving friends kind, well, loving life kind of friends of mine started to realize that you can get flowers from online, which makes it cheaper. And if you get flowers directly from the area, the provinces, for example, here in China, Yunnan province, where flower industry is booming, actually the price could be much cheaper. And if you have already been an expert and you know what kind of flowers you want, what kind of other plants you want to be there to match your main flowers, and also some sidekick flowers that you want in that same bouquet, you can do your own selection online, and it will definitely improve the quality of your decoration world and also make it cheaper. So what are some other trends in over the past several years that we've noticed in the flower market here in China?
Yeah, definitely. China has now become the world's largest flower producer. So the statistic from the China Flower Association shows that the flower planting area in the country is approximately 1.5 million hectares, and over 5 million people are actually engaged in the flower industry. And in 2022, the total scale of the national flower retail market reached nearly $27 billion, and over half of the total sale is from the flower e-commerce. So we can see how this flower e-commerce thing has been dealing a heavy blow to the physical stores. Some of the trends would be we are seeing more diversified sales channels, and we are seeing a more convenient consumption, and the continuous improvement of the supply chain, and also the rapid development of logistics support. I'll give just one of the examples where I would sometimes order flower delivery services is actually from this flower e-commerce platform that was established in 2015. So back then, these business operators, they are not just satisfied with only providing services for certain occasions. It's not just flowers are not just for birthdays or festivals. They took the lead in introducing these affordable fresh flowers to the mass market so that just ordinary people, they can purchase flowers at a cheaper price at a random day. And they initiated this monthly model. So basically, the customers are sent these mystery boxes of flowers every single week for a month or for 3 months, and with a cheaper price. And so this innovativeness and affordability really makes the business booming over the last
decades.
It's
like the Fruits of the Month Club. I don't know if
you're
where like every month you'll get like a surprise delivery of fruit.
That's great. And also if you're sending that to your significant other, instead of sending them just one bouquet, you can say, well, for the following 3 months or half a year, I would buy all your flowers.
Ooh,
isn't
wow.
that romantic?
It'd be awkward if you break up, but yeah, it's great. great during the time when you're together. Yeah.
You should be more confident about your relationship. I mean, 3 months and half a year, it's not that long.
In 2024, eesh.
And another trend here in China is that more young people would like to buy their own flowers. It's starting to be a lifestyle, like Xingyu has described.
To please myself.
Yes, it's a way to lighten your mood, to have a little bit of routine, a little bit habit, to lighten your mood as well as light up the room. And that leads to, again, the booming of the flower industry. Not only are they providing you with monthly, but actually weekly flower mystery boxes.
Right. Yeah.
They're also introducing all different types of flower-related services. For example, you can arrange your own flowers. You can go to a certain store, or you can buy the combo, and then you try to put them together into a certain scene or a certain...
Sounds like a nightmare to me.
I
can't imagine any worse way for me to spend my time. This Saturday, I'm going to go and arrange flowers for myself. No, thanks.
It's very soothing, especially for... I'm not going to say for girls, but I feel like for people with a special appreciation about flowers.
Yeah. In South Africa, it's a little bit different. I mean, there's a emerging trend as well where I've noticed a lot of people are getting into collecting and buying and planting different plants. Like the flower industry in South Africa is pretty big, but maybe it's just a Cape Town thing. I'm not sure. But I remember all of a sudden, whenever I would visit a new person's apartment or, you know, an office building or something like that, I just kept noticing more and more plants as opposed to flowers. So I think there's a similar trend in South Africa, but it's applying to plants for some reason and not necessarily flowers, just because I think the flower industry has just been around and strong in South Africa for a long time. But for some reason now, plants are trending in South Africa, different varieties of plants as well, particularly local plants.
I think in China, these fresh cut flowers, they are more popular than potted ones, potted plants. For me, I would think that for these potted plants, they are usually in green color, but yeah. These flowers, they have diverse, more beautiful colors. And also, these potted ones, you have to put in lots of energy and care for these plants.
But I think that's what people like, though. They like taking care of their plant and they like taking on that responsibility.
Right, right.
And they last longer as well. I mean, I think I don't even know how long flowers last, but I think plants can last you for like decades.
Decades?
If you take care of them, if you tend to them like on a daily basis, I think they can last very long.
Mm. And also throwing a already expired bouquet is a little bit depressing in my opinion.
not if you get a new delivery every
your
week.
That's true.
That's better. And also with the industry booming here in China, we're going to see that a lot of these companies are getting much more creative when it comes to flowers. For example, many of them started to introduce these eternal flowers. They would put the flower in a little crystal bowl.
Yeah.
And with different types of stories and branding and associating it with beautiful stories like the little prince. If you get a beautiful rose from the little prince, you know, your heart would melt a little bit anyways.
People have strange hobbies, man. Like, this sounds very odd to me, but but I think it's great though. I think, you know, that's one, I guess, element of a booming industry that is quite interesting, is that because all of a sudden there's a bunch of, you know, different, apps and e-commerce businesses that have popped up in this industry to compete, they end up becoming a lot more creative. And so people that are interested in flowers and that kind of thing, every year can probably expect more innovative and exciting and different products.
Precisely that. Nowadays, you can get flowers from a subway station through a vending machine. You can get your flowers delivered with drones. And you can, of course, get the monthly or weekly flowers and fresh cut flowers from in mixed fruit boxes. All these innovations are beyond my imagination, and I find it very interesting. And apparently, not only are people appreciating the beautiful flowers to decorating their homes, they are also diving into the industry to start their own business. We see many young people, at least for some of them, would start a side gig, side gig,
basically. Side hustle.
Yes,
yeah. Side hustle. Selling flowers.
Yes, in special days. And also, special, for example, Valentine's Day, they would sell some flowers.
Oh, interesting.
Where the price of flowers goes up like 400%. No, it does, honestly. So that's a good, it's always good to focus on those, you know, like flower themed days.
Yes. And also some of them even quit their jobs, because I have seen examples of people loving flowers and loving the industry quite so much, and they felt tired of their mundane, not so fun work. So they quit their job, went to Yunnan and started doing live streaming selling flowers. And apparently it's been quite lucrative for them. I'm not saying everyone should quit their job or anything.
No.
It's just do your research, know your market, and if you're really there for it, maybe it could be a good opportunity to change your life into the ones that you would be able to enjoy. And that is the story of flowers, and hopefully with that you would find an interest in buying a flower yourself as well. You're listening to Roundtable. Right after the break, commuter marriage or marriage migratory mold is gaining popularity among the young couples here in China. Want to know what that's all about? Stay tuned.
Looking for passion? How about fiery debate? Want to hear about current events in China from different perspectives? Then tune in to Roundtable, where East meets West and understanding is the goal.
It's the hour of Roundtable with myself, Neil Honglin, Brendan, and Xinyu. Imagine bidding farewell to your spouse on a Sunday evening, only to reunite at the end of a long work week. This is the weekly routine of commuter marriages, a lifestyle choice that's stirring conversations and challenging traditional marital norms. It brings with it a slew of questions about sustainability, love, and personal growth within the constraints of geological separation. So I was wondering, for both of you, what is your attitude towards long-distance relationship and commuter marriage?
I think it depends on the strength of your relationship and if you're married or anything like that, because I think if you're just starting out in a relationship and all of a sudden it becomes long distance very early on, I don't think that that's worthwhile, particularly for young people or people that are not in very serious relationships. But if people are like engaged or married, then I think finding innovative ways on how to deal with long distance relationships is definitely beneficial. So I think I wouldn't recommend it to people that are casually dating. But if you're, you know, in a very committed, serious relationship and you have to get involved in something that's long distance, then, you know, finding ways to make it as manageable as possible is a good thing.
I think for me, I tend to hold this a bit negative view about long distance relationship. I don't think I have that much faith in that. And also, though I haven't tried it myself, but I think when I was single, I wouldn't choose to date someone who is not in the same city with me. So yeah, I would never start a long distance relationship.
On purpose.
Yeah, on purpose. But for a commuter marriage, I feel somehow it's acceptable. At least you guys can meet like once in a week or once every 2 weeks. So that's manageable for me.
The interesting thing about commuter marriage getting popularity, or at least the topic getting popularity on, let's say, China's social media, instead of directly say it's already popular in the real life, is that many people claim that commuter marriages are actually helping them regain the flame between each other. They say commuter marriage, okay, let's start by defining commuter marriage, because it's not exactly long-distance relationship. For those who are enjoying, experiencing, or suffering from a commuter marriage, actually what they're facing is the situation that the couple, due to certain reasons, cannot live in the same city, yet they're not that far away from each other as well. In that occasion, they don't have to endure a long-distance relationship. On the other hand, they meet every weekend or every 2 weeks, and they would spend several days together and then separate to, I'm not going to say live their own lives, but at least to work their own jobs. That's the situation of this commuter relationship or commuter marriage. And a lot of claims or comments on the internet suggests that commuter relationship or commuter marriage help the couple regain the enthusiasm towards each other, because when you live together, you would focus your family life into taking care of the family, taking care of the kids, doing house chores, and just maintain your everyday life. However, when you separate for an entire week, you would have this certain, let's say, interest in doing a little bit setup to welcome the other party. You would have a little date night. You would even...
maybe a little flower delivery.
Exactly. Yeah. Decorate the house with flowers.
Maybe that's why this industry is booming, because there's more and more commuter marriages.
Do you think this would be more and more popular? Since nowadays, when people started to search for a job, they would look in a much broader market. They would not confine to their own city.
I don't know if it's becoming more and more popular. I don't think that's the right word, because I don't think people generally choose that as the ideal situation, but I think it's becoming more and more common. And I think people are trying to find ways to deal with it, particularly mentally, and make it work for them. And I think, you know, what a lot of couples can do is, you know, think of that notion that when you spend time apart from someone or something, your appreciation for that person or that object or whatever it may be kind of increases. So I think what it does is, when you do get to spend time together, because it is limited, you tend to make the most of that time and really appreciate each other. And, you know, some couples may see that as more fulfilling than, you know, spending every second of every day together, where it just becomes natural that you will appreciate something less if it's constantly around. So for example, if you owned a Ferrari, if you only drove it once a week, you'd probably appreciate it more than if you drove it every day.
Intense passion towards your significant other.
Yeah.
And also a lot of philosophers and people believe that having something to look forward to is a huge part of overall happiness, having something to look forward to. So if you're only seeing your significant other every week, even though that time is limited, you've got something to look forward to every week. And I think that's a big contributing factor for a lot of couples' just overall happiness.
Mm. And also, like Brandon said, these married couples who probably spend the days together almost every single day, they tend to take each other for granted.
Yes.
But for these commuter couples, probably they would appreciate more of the presence of the significant other. And also in China, I think we have seen not just in China, across the world, we have seen an increasing number of women. They are pursuing careers. Probably in the past, we saw more men. They would leave the family for a period of time for work. But nowadays, you know, these career women and also men, they both they're pursuing their careers probably, and it's more common to see them working in different places.
I've definitely seen it a lot around China. Whenever I look into a fancy car, like a Lamborghini or an Aston Martin or something, it's always a woman driving the car. And I'm like, it's always like a woman like in her 20s or something. And I'm just thinking, geez, clearly women are getting something right in China because it's incredible.
And also because women are getting more and more independent. When their husbands wanted to pursue a career or a position in a different city, instead of quitting their job to just go be with their husbands, they want to hold on to their own jobs and stay maybe in the family or in the original city. And that is definitely one of the contributing factors of this situation.
But I think that's also why the situations work better for like very serious committed couples, because I think that they've gotten to a point where the whole wondering and trusting issue becomes less of an issue for them, because they have been together for a long period of time, or they've made a very solid commitment to each other, or they have children together. I think those kind of situations, commuter marriage is more sustainable, whereas if you're just like casually dating and you're young people that are involved in just a little bit of a fling, spending time apart doesn't necessarily make sense. And I think trusting someone that you're not involved in a serious commitment with is probably a lot trickier.
That being said, what challenges do couples in commuter marriages face, do you think?
Trust, for sure. Because I think just spending time apart, and you know, naturally your mind starts to wonder, if I'm not with this person, what are they doing when I'm not around?
I think for me is probably the physical separation. Sometimes these physical face-to-face interaction is really important to maintain your relationship with the significant other. And also probably while you're apart, you are not able to share your joy or sorrow with your partner immediately. And there's always difficulty in sharing some of the family responsibility, like taking care of the children or doing the house chores, and also taking care of the elderly parents and also everything.
And so, kids also have to deal with these separation issues as well,
exactly.
You know, because they might be spending a lot of time apart from their mother or their father. And I think that's also something very difficult for kids to deal with.
Right. So I think in a way, when kids, they're involved in this commuter marriage, things can get really complicated.
Yeah.
So probably for these couples, what they can do is today, I read some of the suggestions. They say, some of the experts say, probably they can have a mutual goal. So probably, let's say, they are separated for a certain period of time. And then after that, they reached a certain career goal or they reached a financial goal. They can be together, you know.
Having something to look forward to on the long term.
Yeah. Yes.
Or just drop the kids off at the orphanage and just say, well, you're not spending more time with me or your father. You're going to be at the orphanage for the next week.
That's horrible suggestion. Please don't do that.
Yeah.
We know while most Chinese want to choose love and marriage, we increasingly make decisions that pull us away from those goals. We date less. We cohabit more, we marry later, and we only have kids under societal or peer pressure, and generally make ourselves less available for relationships. And these practices seem to signal our desire for independence, but they can also conflict with our desire for a happy and interdependent marriage. And in that case, I feel like having at least the option of commuter marriage would help us better see what we want. Maybe we can want it all. Maybe with the help of technology development, with the help of instant commuting or communicating tools, you'd be able to endure this long-distance relationship anyways.
Yeah, but again, I think that's why it applies better to more serious, committed, you know, couples that have been been together for a long time. Because if it's the early stages, then it doesn't seem worthwhile. Because I think, particularly in the early stages, that person-to-person experience and getting to know someone and figuring out if this is the person for me is a lot more important. Whereas if you're already married, you already have kids, and you've potentially spent many, many years together on a daily basis, then that separation issue becomes less of an issue.
Yes. And in the meantime, every couples are different. Yep. Maybe you, when you are not together that often, when you have something to look forward to every week, it actually betters your relationship. Maybe surprise the other party would make the relationship more exciting, or you have to know whether or not the other party is the one that loves surprises. It all depends.
Here's this big surprise after a week being apart. This is my new wife. Surprise.
No. See, it doesn't work for everybody.
Yes.
But we are...
Hopefully none of you ever have to deal with that surprise, guys.
Exactly. And in that, on that note, hopefully everyone would have the relationship that works the best for them. And we are always glad to see, with the development of technology, the development of the society, more and more choices are opening to more and more people. You have to find out the one that fits you the best. And love knows no distance. Despite the challenges, many couples have found strength, independence, and even a deeper connection through their unique living arrangements. The journey of love, after all, is about more than just sharing a space. It's about sharing your minds. And that brings us to the end of today's roundtable. Thanks, Xingyu and Brandon, for joining the show. Until next time, keep the conversations going and the ideas flowing. And if you have anything to share, send an email to easyfmroundtable@foxmail.com. I'm Niu Honglin, and I'll be there next time. Bye.